Hello, and welcome to episode 124 of Speak Beastie for November 15th, 2020.
I'm Oreo.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Marjolaine.
How is everybody? I feel in general I want to check out how everybody is when we get started here, because there's just been so much going on since the last episode.
That was a lot.
Yeah, I think that's probably the understatement of the century.
Yeah. But this past 2 weeks was all over the place for everyone, I think. But yeah.
It's like 2020 has already been tough, but then this like past 2 weeks is like even more insane than it's been before.
Last night I was saying to my dad that nothing else for 1 week can happen that is newsworthy, be it good or bad, because emotionally I just cannot handle anything else that might be reported in the news. I don't care if it's, you know, who somebody won the election that we couldn't stop talking about, or an actor got kicked off of a movie franchise, not that that happened, or that a beloved show host who's become a pop culture icon of several decades has passed away, not that that happened, except that all those things did happen. It's just, there's been so many, I feel like every day it's been something else, and it's either been good or bad. It's just, things have really been happening this week.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Lizzie?
I was going to say, it feels like this is someone's revenge for all of the years that we've been playing Sims, and we've been torturing all those Sims, and we've been locking them in rooms, and we've been shutting them in pools, and doing all sorts to them, and now someone's like, yeah, we're getting you back for that now.
So you're saying 2020 is a simulation? That's the word.
Wow.
Someone else is playing with us.
Oh, feels like it.
Yeah.
I mean, we are locked in our homes, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Shall we get started dissecting some of those news?
Yeah.
Better have.
Oh, yes. Let's do. Let's get to the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you! Yes you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as $1 a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more! Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
So what has the Phoenix brought to us? I'm sure no one's heard of this piece of news. It was really tiny.
I just can't help but laugh.
At this point, you either laugh because you think it's funny, or you're laughing to keep from crying. But either way, you're laughing.
Yep.
Yeah.
One good thing is for once, it happened quite at the perfect timing for us to cover it.
On the episode.
Yeah. It was not the day after we record. It was a comfortable time for us to be prepared for this episode, so that's good.
There's Warner a silver Brothers. Lining. Silver haired lining with a weird mustache. All right, so for anyone who has still not heard, Johnny Depp has been asked by Warner Brothers to step down from his role as Gellert Grindelwald in the Fantastic Beasts movie franchise. It was announced on November 6th. Via a post that he shared on his official Instagram account. And to get us started with the news, I'm going to go ahead and just share the post here exactly as he wrote it. He says, "In light of recent events, I would like to make the following short statement. Firstly, I'd like to thank everybody who has gifted me with their support and loyalty. I've been humbled and moved by your many messages of love and concern, particularly over the last few days. Secondly, I wish to let you know that I have been asked to resign by Warner Brothers from my role as Grindelwald in Fantastic Beasts, and I have respected and agreed to that request. Finally, I wish to say this. The surreal judgment of the court in the UK will not change my fight to tell the truth, and I confirm that I plan to appeal. My resolve remains strong, and I intend to prove that the allegations against me are false. My life and career will not be defined by this moment in time. Thank you for reading. Sincerely, Johnny Depp.
Well, yeah.
that could be a good main discussion topic. What do you think?
Do you know what? Let's toss out what we had planned for main discussion and do this instead.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think we might be able to drag something up.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know? But yeah, all joking aside, obviously, because that news is so big, it is going to be our main discussion today. Because, yeah, what else would we frankly talk about?
I don't think anyone's spoken about anything
else. There's just so much to unpack there, and people will probably realize that if they haven't already once we get into it, just how much there is for us to dissect just from that one statement.
Yeah, and speaking of dissecting, I think we already have a bonus episode on our YouTube page, your YouTube channel about this news. It was a emergency episode, I guess. And Jeff, you were part of it, I think.
I was there with some very fun people to record with, and it was interesting because usually when I get together and I do this with you guys, it's just us talking. But in this case, everybody can now see what I look like when I'm sitting at my desk. I will say, I went back and I rewatched the video just because I always go back and I rewatch the things that I'm a part of just because I want to see how it turned out. And I wish that I had put in my contact lenses instead of my glasses because I had this terrible glare on my eyes the whole time.
Yeah, no, it's the same for me every time I do the correspondence on YouTube, and I always have my glasses, and yeah, that's a problem.
The struggles of YouTube fame.
Yeah, that's hard.
But before we go into the whole Johnny Depp issue, if you have listened to episode 123, you will know that Shannon and Rex and... now I'm obviously forgetting who the third person was, have asked plenty of times to send us Outpost, and you came through. So how about we read some Outpost?
Yeah, we definitely got some good ones. So thank you everyone for sending in. So we're going to go for... the first one, who's from Critter Keeper. I'm going to read it point by point so that everyone can kind of talk about it, because there are some really interesting points in here. So first point, you speculated about Grindelwald collecting Letherfolds. What if he is the one who created Dementors based off Letherfolds? Which I think is a really cool theory, but I think someone's about to rain on my parade and Critter Keepers.
Yeah, because I love this theory because, of course, there is this connection because the Patronus charm is the only thing that can fight this both creature. So, yeah, the connection, they might have a connection, but I remember that we had a story of the creation of Azkaban on Pottermore, and... it says that the creation of Dementors happened, I don't have the exact century, but it was far before Grindelwald even existed. Mm-hmm. So Dementors are created by dark magic, but it was long in the past. So, but again, that's on Pottermore, so you can count it as canon on something that you can rewrite for the new movie canon. So you do with this info what you want.
Well, yeah. Every now and then, especially with this franchise, I think it's become a running joke now that we're just kind of throwing continuity out the window. So if they wanted to come up with a version of the story where Grindelwald did invent Dementors based off of Letherfolds, I don't think it would really shock anybody that much. I mean, we've got McGonagall at Hogwarts decades before she's supposed to be there. Dumbledore's teaching defense against the dark arts. What is continuity? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but at least, yeah, Azkaban was already around because Albus' father was put in Azkaban. So if Azkaban is connected, if Azkaban was always guarded by Dementors, which is something that we can't be totally sure, but yeah, we can assume that Dementors were already there. So
And I think definitely. Just because the only two dark wizards that we know are Voldemort and Grindelwald, obviously doesn't mean that there haven't been similar dark wizards before then.
Who got up to creating lots of mischievous things.
Yeah, because Horcruxes were a thing before Voldemort did them, so someone already came up with that. So,
but we still want the Leatherfold. I agree.
Yes.
So I think this is something we'll agree to. We'd be very happy to see happen. So our second point is, I recently watched a movie with some wonderful scenes of Brazil, including flyovers of the favela surrounding Rio and a great chase scene actually filmed in a favela. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm just going for favela. The extra scenes include some of the surrounding hills and wild areas. And the movie, if you wanted to know, is The Incredible Hulk, the oft-forgotten second installment of the Marvel comic universe.
Yeah. I think that's the one with Edward Norton, which I actually thought that, especially compared to the horribly depressing Eric Bana Hulk movie that we got before that one, I thought Edward Norton did pretty well.
I've recently seen it for the first time, and I mean, Edward Norton is not my Hulk, but it was a pretty good movie.
Well, he was a great Hulk. He just wasn't a great Bruce Banner.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense. I just like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he's a classic.
Yeah. Classic.
But yeah,
that's the only one. That's the only Hulk I know. So, yeah.
It's the only one you need. Trust me.
But I'm thinking now I need to go watch this again and to kind of look at those chase scenes. I think that'll give us a really good vision of what could be happening next in the next film.
I'm going to do that too.
Oh yeah, it's a really great chase scene. And you do see, it lasts quite a long while, so you do see quite a lot of the favelas.
Maybe as a snippet. Get our imaginations going. So our third point is about Princess Sophia. So you make it sound like her not paying for stuff was casual or frivolous. It sounds to me like she deliberately refused to pay taxes as a protest, the old no taxation without representation.
Yeah, no, that's what I understood too, so yeah. I agree, I think that was that, but I'm not sure the host implied something else, so yeah, I don't want to speak for them, but yeah. In the context, I think that was, the no taxation without representation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, that's we'll have to check who said that and send them a message.
I mean,
did you?
Yeah. Was it Shannon's Time Turner?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I
think so. It was a great Time Turner. I learned a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah. It sort of followed up Lizzie when you did the suffragette movement in the UK. And it was, just women's rights, which I suppose we can all agree are good.
Very good.
Yeah, and every time I listen to UK and US history about women's rights, it reminds me that France gave women's right to vote far later, so I'm always ashamed for my country.
I mean, same, but also Germany literally just finished World War One and was declared the loser of that, and then, you know, people had other things on their mind, and then there was World War Two, and then, you know.
Yeah.
So there's good reasons why it took us a bit longer, Marjolaine.
I guess.
You could blame Grindelwald, you know.
Yeah, that's Grindelwald's fault.
So our fourth point, Duolingo has Portuguese as an option for language to learn. Am I the only one considering trying to pick up a little Portuguese before the movie set in Brazil comes out? I think that's such a good idea.
I mean, also, you have more time now to do it. So.
I applaud anybody who endeavors to learn a language. My friend Sunny, one of my dear friends Sunny, he lives in South Korea now teaching English as a second language. And I'm so impressed whenever he talks about his attempts to learn Korean, because it's a really beautiful language. And I think that Portuguese is as well. So if they want to try to learn it, then I tip my hat to them if I had one. But I don't know if it's necessary for the movie, because I didn't learn any French before the second film came out. Not that I don't love that language as well, because I do. I listened to Marjolaine do a whole Star Wars podcast in French, didn't understand a word of it, but didn't care because it sounded fantastic. But they didn't really incorporate the language into the second film very much. No. So I don't know how much of a goal that is for them as we go to these different countries. Like, they incorporate some of the culture, some of the architecture, but the language, they really don't seem to think that much about.
Yeah, I think Crypto Keeper, if you want to learn Portuguese before because of a movie who's using it, then, you know, The Incredible Hulk is actually a good movie, because I've been watching it with my friend Felicia, who speaks million languages, it feels like, but she definitely speaks Portuguese well enough that she could understand what they were saying without reading the subtitles. So
we should have them, if they do start learning Portuguese, they should record some of their attempts to learn the language and send them to us, so we know how they're doing.
Yeah, let us know. Give us an
keep
update.
Us updated.
Yeah, and because we have also Brazilian and Portuguese listeners, so that would be great to be able to speak to them in their native language. So just for that, but just because we are an international podcast, that's always great to learn new words, even if we are not able to speak in every languages, at least few words. That's and few pronunciation too. That's helpful. Always helpful.
We could just pick one word every episode and just say it in a couple of languages.
Right, this is reminding me of work now, because I work in Wales, and there's a big effort from the Welsh government to introduce or to make Welsh in the workplace and Welsh kind of in the community much more normal, and so that people feel that they can use it. And we have these bulletins. We've got a fantastic Welsh language officer where I work, Geraint, and he sends out these bulletins of all these words. And then we had to do a workshop for our away day. And I'd say about half of my department speaks Welsh. And then the other half, well, about 25% know enough to get by or to like understand things. And then the other 25% of us just suck. And I sat there in this workshop and surrounded by fluent Welsh speakers, and they're trying to get us to say like, how do you feel, and say you feel tired, and I couldn't get my mouth to do the words. I was just making these awful noises, and then people were like, you don't get this, do you? And I'm like, no, like, I'm not from Wales. Like, I'm from the border, but I never learned Welsh. And it just, you know, I've tried, I'm trying. I know the odd word. So I'm aiming to try and learn a bit more. But yeah, I think let's add Portuguese onto the list and see how badly I do at that too.
I mean, if we really do that, after 5 movies of Fantastic Beasts, we'll all be fluent in multiple languages.
Well, I let French drop.
Well, I mean, it's easy for me because one of them is German, so... Yeah.
I know a bit of German already. I was always sort of intimidated by French. I learned French diction and my voice lessons as a music student, but I understand enough to know that speaking French and the diction they teach you for French in classical music lessons, very different.
Yeah. Yeah, French pronunciation in classical music is very weird. But yeah. No, I need to go back to my German lesson, because it was the first language I learned in school after French, of course. But yeah, I forgot everything. So
I remember Umdieka.
Okay, around the corner.
Yeah, that is literally all I can really. And what's Ich heiße? There you go. Ich heiße Umdieka. That's my ability. Well, we've gone off on a bit of a tangent there.
What, us? Never.
So, let's go for point five. With COVID-19, people are a lot more aware of their 1918-19 influenza pandemic. Wanna bet that there'll be at least one reference to it in the next movie? Someone mentioning a relative lost to it or visiting a village that was devastated by it or something.
I could see them mentioning it. I don't know about it becoming a plot point, because at this point we are now quite a bit on from the influenza pandemic of 1918 to 1919, especially with the time jump from movie 2 to movie 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not connected, but it reminds me of the dragon pox. That is the... I don't think it's the wizarding equivalent to the influenza, but it's kind of a common... disease that killed a lot of wizards. So, yeah, and we know that the Gostin sister lost their parents from this disease. So, of course, it's not the same reference, but we already have some background characters who were lost into, I guess we can call the dragon pox a pandemic. Pandemic, I don't know, but yeah. It reminds me of that, at least.
I don't know if they'll want to step away from all this kind of COVID stuff, especially if it's coming out in 2022. Not that I think it'll be gone by then, but they might think it's kind of not as relevant anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe they'll just be tired of using the term pandemic. Like, the more we talk about it, the less it feels like we've moved away from it, because as long as it's on our minds, it's like it's still here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so we have two more points. Number six, looking forward to episode 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm not going to try and say that in the long way, you know. And there's a shortcut to Ilvermorny in Chicago visible from the... Oh, what's EL?
I thought that was that... is that one of those buildings? Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about Chicago.
I've lost it now. Jeff, help.
I remember this picture. I think it was something on a building. And I remember this picture took from a train, that it was this kind of gate, like painted on a wall. And it feels like you can go through it. And I remember something. Yeah, maybe I remember not correctly, but it was from a long time ago, I think, at least 3 or 4 years ago. So, yeah, that, and the internet speculated that it was the shortcut to go to Ilvermorny. So,
yeah. That was a good memory there.
The quick internet search is showing that the L in Chicago is the rapid transit system serving the city of Chicago, which we have two folks working for our podcast from that area, and I wish that one of them was here to tell us a bit more. I've been to Chicago once or twice. I think I know what they're talking about, because I think I've seen it.
Well, that was a good memory then from... Critic Keeper.
Yeah.
Remember that one. Well, we have one more owl post to go into. And this one is from Thales. So I think they're coming to Brazil to find someone important. Someone from Dumbledore's gang, a member of that book. I like to call it the Wizarding Instagram. Maybe this person can help.
Nice.
I've got to have to stop now. It's just a little chuckle from us all.
That's literally the Wizarding Facebook.
I just called it a Yellow Pages, but that doesn't make any sense to most people. If you're not, I don't think you have it anywhere else. No. Okay. So I'm going to go back to where am I reading. I'm not going to laugh over it this time. So I like to call it the Wizarding Instagram. Maybe this person can help with the Blood Pact. At that time, Rio was our capital, so it makes sense. Probably the Ministry of Magic is there.
I like the idea of the person being able to help with the Blood Pact, because I know that Dumbledore is extraordinarily clever and he's the one that made the Blood Pact, but there might be people out there who have theorized a way around it that he might not have thought of.
I mean, we do know that there's people who are more clever than Dumbledore, because he hasn't invented this Philosopher's Stone.
Mm. Well, how hard did he really try? A wizard doesn't use dark magic doesn't mean he can't miss Pennyfeather.
Hey, the Philosopher's Stone isn't dark magic.
I know. It's a quote from the book. It's one of the few moments from Binns that we get. I love it. I know it's not dark magic. I can't help saying it. It's fun.
I like the idea that it'll be Dumbledore as the reason that we're going abroad. I know we kind of had Dumbledore as the stirring pot to make Newt go, but it feels like if it could be that, it would be Dumbledore leading the plot and exploring it that way, rather than Grindelwald's gone over there and he's causing absolute chaos.
Yeah.
Fantastic Beasts 3, Dumbledore goes on sabbatical.
I mean, he's one of the few actors confirmed for the third movie, so.
Yeah, true.
Which is only like 6 at the moment, so. And one of them is Muggle 24, whatever that means. German Muggle 24.
Very important.
Yeah.
I just want to point, I think if this listener is from Brazil, I'm not sure we pronounce the name right. I'm not sure. I would say Thales, but...
Yeah, I would say that too. Isn't he a mathematician?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a Greek name, but yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, to our lovely listener, whose name I butchered, which seems to be a thing with me, I apologise for the next points where I am going to pronounce these place names wrong, but I'm going to try. And I even did Google it, but what I read on Google doesn't always come out with my mouth. So... so next point is, I don't know if we'll see Castelo Bruxo. Wow, that's something like what it said on Google. Because Amazonia is really far away from Rio.
Yeah.
It would be really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
probably the same of France where we were in Paris, but Beaubaton is in the south of France. So
yeah,
far away from Paris.
Yeah, pretty far away.
Marjolaine should know because she lives in the south of France.
Yeah, and I don't live close to Beaubaton, which is on the other south of France.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's very pretty there, though. Yeah. I have been a couple of times.
So we also have, I'm also curious to know how Brazilians call muggles, because in the books it's Trucha. If someone wants to yell at something that might be more closer to what I just said.
I don't know how to speak Portuguese.
No,
so.
I'm lost. So I'm going for trucha. And that word actually exists in our vocabulary and means something like fool or idiot. Yeah, it's funny. I really hope it's not just a boring variation of nomage. I really agree with that. You guys deserve to have a proper muggle word.
That's like French. They have their word that means kind of something. And so I hope for Brazilian that they will not have the non-magique treatment.
But I've said it before, and maybe I'm very much in the minority here, but I know that they aren't as fun of made-up words as muggle, but I like nomage and non-magique. They're fun to say. I know they're simple, but they roll off the tongue nicely, I thought.
It's just from what I learned about French slang, it's like so different to what French slang actually is. So
yeah.
I had a French teacher who was from France who was like adamant that in that 1 year she taught us French slang for some reason. So I learned a lot of swear words and weird words. I don't know if that was helpful. I don't think it was, but...
Well, it beats the lessons I got in German, which was my German teacher teaching us the German lyrics to all the ABBA songs, including Dancing Queen, which is probably why I'm not very good at German.
But they're in English.
Okay, now I have an idea for some Patreon bonus content.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Rushton. I know you loved doing ABBA in German, but...
Oh, it's my biggest beef with the Mamma Mia musical, where like, why did you turn the songs to German? Everyone knows them in English because they play on the radio in English. But clearly someone appreciated that.
A final comment from, I'm scared to say the name again now.
Thales.
Thales.
Thales. So So anyway, I'm sorry again for my English, and I'm very sorry for my Portuguese and English as well. I did my best. You did far better than I did. Love you guys and love the podcast. I don't know when, aww, but one day we'll have the third movie and our answers, I think. Well, yay, that's a good thing to think of. I'm all for that.
Thank you so much for the kind words.
Yeah, it's always nice to get good feedback, appreciation, and I think their English was very good. And it's nice to know that people are still enjoying it.
Yeah,
definitely.
And thank you for your points from Brazil, because that's really... I didn't know the Brazilian word for muggle, so I'm so happy to know that now. Even if I don't know how to pronounce it. So.
Yeah, can someone let us know?
Right, I think that is all the owls we have today.
Yeah,
so are we ready to talk about Johnny Depp?
Yes, let's do.
So, I mean, I think that's the best way to start is first reactions to the news.
When I first saw the letter, it was actually, I don't follow Johnny Depp on Instagram personally. Not that I have anything against him, I just don't follow that many people on Instagram. But when I first saw the letter, it was reposted in one of the Facebook groups, and I immediately commented on it saying, nope, it's fake, not happening. Somebody came back with, really? Because it's on his verified Instagram. So now I follow Johnny Depp on Instagram. And Sophie pointed out to me when I described this during the Google Hangout that I actually seemed like I was going through the stages of grief when I found out, because I said, this isn't happening. And that turned into, dang it, dang it, dang it, which is not what I said, but that's the censored version I'm giving for this podcast. And then it turned into, well, what do we do now? Who are they going to get? How soon is this going to happen? And then by the end of it, I realized that after two Harry Potter films, we had to recast the role of Albus Dumbledore for very different reasons, and yet it worked out okay. So if that worked out all right, then maybe this can too.
Yeah. I had, when I saw your description or your reaction on the common room, I thought, yeah, that's me. That's exactly the same for me. I totally thought it was a fake. And yeah, I was shocked and sad, and also sad because of the timing that we will talk about after. But quickly, I was just excited that we finally have something to talk about.
I remember you saying that in the group, and I was like, oh, you know, silver lining. Well done, Marjo.
Yeah, even if, again, I would prefer something not controversial again, because I'm tired of this mess, of this word, of this... Yeah, but I'm just excited about the fact that we will have a new Grindelwald, because even if I loved Depp's portrayal, I'm still interested about someone new taking this role. So I'm trying to focus on that, because other that I will just be angry and sad. So yeah.
For me, I wasn't so much thinking about Depp as such. I got caught up in the why the heck now. I was a bit more annoyed about that than anything else. You know, this isn't a new thing that has happened. This isn't something that has completely taken the fandom or the industry by surprise. This is something that's been in the works for a while. So I was thinking, what has made them change their mind for now to be the best time to ask him to resign, to leave? And I, you know, there's lots of different ideas out there that we will go into a bit more in the next conversation. But for me, I was just thinking, why now? Why have you done this now? And it came through as like a breaking news story on my phone. I got like an alert telling me, so did my partner and things. So I was a bit like, wow, okay.
Yeah. I remember I was like a couple minutes before I was going into a big work meeting that was going to be like 2 hours. And I just like checked my phone, and I was actually messaging Felicia and be like, oh, election, this and that and that. And then my phone started like ding, 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 ding. I was like, okay, something's happened. Went into the Facebook common room, and yeah, I've seen it, and I literally just went back to Felicia because she's one of our two directors for Muggle, and I was like, did you see the debt news, like, in the middle of our election conversation? And she's like, no. I was like, well, you better go check it out. I have to go into work meeting. So I then, obviously, after the two-hour meeting, sort of went back into Facebook and read up everything was said at that point already. Mm. But I like Lizzie was more like, okay, why now? I mean, I've never been a big fan of having him in the movies. So I'm not like sad or anything, but I'm just like, why now?
Maybe for the why now, maybe we should remind the listener about what happened a few days before the announcement, because it was mentioned by Johnny Depp in his letter, but maybe not everyone knows. So I'm not sure about the I'm not sure I have every piece of the fact, but there was a trial in the UK against the Sun, I think.
Yeah.
Because they called Johnny Depp a wife beater in the journal, and so. There was a whole try to determine if it was
true or not. It wasn't a criminal court case, so no one was being charged with guilty or not guilty or anything like that. It was purely on the kind of words used by the newspaper.
If they were allowed to call him that or not.
Yeah. So they did look at all the evidence submitted from both sides, which Johnny Depp did put in a lot of evidence, which wasn't completely out in the open. I think there was some of it was new, but a lot of it had been at least inferred? No, that people thought was out there. And the ruling went against Johnny Depp, with the judge saying that they had seen enough evidence to say that what the Sun wrote could be deemed as true, and there wasn't a kind of legal case against the Sun from him of them writing something that wasn't true.
Yeah, so the big thing that changed is that for now, at this point now, Johnny Depp can be called a wife beater in the press, and I think that was the thing that was the important thing for Warner Brothers, because even if there is other legal trials that will come after that, this point is very important for a press and a promo standpoint. So I think that even if they were ready to deal with that, that was the turning point, I think. But yeah, that's what I understood, at least.
So what do we kind of think about the timing of literally 2 days after that? How do we think it's gonna...
I mean, we have had this, like, screenshot in September of, like, rumored... that they're considering replacing him because his, like, court appearances clash with filming and everything. And then, you know, literally 2 days after this happened, they're like, okay, he's not in this franchise anymore. I'm almost thinking that there's a couple of reasons, and one of them is probably them saying, okay, if you're going to go appeal and there's going to be more court appearances and all of this, this is now, for us, the point where we have to cut ties.
Mm-hmm. And I think... I was chatting to Aurea about this. I was probably one of the annoying people blowing up your phone as well. This is probably a time where they can say, if you're going to appeal, then you're not going to be able to meet obligations of filming. You're not going to be able to be there when we need you to, because the court system in the UK, he'll just get given dates. It could change between weeks, months, depends where it goes and how high it goes, how quick he gets his case, all those kind of things. So it could be, you know, they're in the middle of filming all these really important scenes, and it could cost film studios a lot of money to reschedule those scenes, that this might be a really good excuse or way out of a contract that they've got with him, that he cannot meet filming obligations, so he's in breach of contract, goodbye, and this is a good opportunity for them to kind of get rid of him legally.
I would agree, especially because there's like rumors out that they've already recast him.
Yeah.
So they clearly were very prepared for all of this.
A lot of that makes it seem like maybe this has been in the works for much, much longer than we realize as well. Because I'm thinking when I found out exactly when they decide to let him go and why they decide to let him go, I'm kind of wondering, they have to find someone else, they have to draw up a new contract, if they're replacing him for the third movie, not the just, you know, finishing the third and then going on for the fourth and fifth with a new actor, then they're going to have to do reshoots. So for a lot of, you know, reports that this is costing them a lot of money and they're worried they might not make it back, it seems more costly in the long run to replace him now. So would they really have been in that much more trouble if they just finished the third movie with Johnny Depp and then once they wrap production on it, recast him after that?
I'm not sure they'd started filming much, and some of the set rumors were that the scenes that had been filmed didn't include him, and the things that he had been in had been very, very minimal. But those are complete rumors from people who have, you know, said a few things from set. But if that is true, they could have, you know, scheduled it that way to wait for the court appearance, or the court verdict, sorry. So that if this, but I kind of agree that if it was, if they were making plans to shoot scenes without him first, it does sound like there were more conversations going behind the scenes than we would ever know about.
Yeah, no, because I think the last time I heard from this trial was in July, maybe, or early in summer, I don't know. But anyway, that's going on for a while now. So it was in the middle of the break during the because of COVID. So maybe everything happened during this time that they were not filming during this time, and so they. At the same time that they were preparing for the restarting the shooting, I guess they also could take that into account to their scheduling. So they don't. I think we agree that it was not a decision that they took in 3 days. That was,
no, I think if you are, you know, Warner Brothers isn't exactly some independent small business. They've been around the block. They know how it works. And I'm sure ever since this whole thing started, they would have had some like plan Bs and plan Cs and plan Ds probably of like, if this happens, what we're going to do. If this happens, how we're going to react. So I'm pretty convinced that they had something up their sleeves the whole time.
Yeah,
we know that the casting side of Crimes of Grindelwald, or not Crimes of the whole series, has been quite mysterious. That people weren't told that the people weren't told who they were auditioning for, that they didn't get names of who they're being auditioned for. So it could have been very easy for them to recast without even the actor necessarily knowing what part they were going for.
Yeah.
Well, that would be wild if they recast Grindelwald and the actor didn't knew it would be Grindelwald.
Talk about a leap of faith. Especially with some of the... We'll get into a little bit later of who we've been speculating might get cast to be Grindelwald next, especially with some of these bigger names that we're throwing around. You're kind of asking them to take on a lot of risk by not even telling them who they're going to play.
Yeah, no, I don't think they can do that with the biggest name.
I mean, we do have that in here later. I suppose we might almost skip down to that next. It's like, do we even think they can get a big name?
I think with some you probably could, because it's one of those, this seems like one of those franchises where you could look at it from a lot of different angles. You could look at it as a big actor might think, you know what, this could be a chance for me to step in here and kind of try to elevate this project, because a lot of people have sort of lost faith in it, but I can still see the merit to it. You could look at it as a big actor would get asked to take on that role, and they would say, okay, you know what? I'm a Harry Potter fan from way back, and maybe this will work out, maybe it won't, but at least I can try to do my bit for the series, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that from the Warner Brothers point of view. I think they will try at least to have a big name, because the decision is, of course, for the practical scheduling issue that we mentioned, but it also, I think, a marketing one. Because they, if you remember, for Crimes of Grindelwald, Johnny Depp wasn't in at all involved into the promotion of the movie. They couldn't put him in the front line of promotion because of that problem. Mm-hmm. So they need someone to that will be able to go with Jude Law and with everyone to promote the movie this time. So, and actually, I think if I'm still looking on the bright side, it could be a good thing for Movie Free to have this new big name as Grindelwald to bring back the public, to bring back the interest into this movie that will come out almost 4 years after the last one. So they need someone, if they can have someone who just with his name will bring back interest, and they will definitely try to have this kind of big name.
I mean, if we're going to be brutally honest here, is a name, a big name, going to bring people back? Is it going to kind of help with the damage control? Because a lot of stuff's happened. It's not just been Depp.
Yeah, it would have to be the fandom quite is really a big torn. Name. Yeah. And not just the, you know, how big the name is. I mean, we were sort of, I think we sort of hit on this during the Google Hangout as well, is that when it comes to actors who might be qualified or interested or, you know, big, since we keep throwing that word out, enough to really take on the role, if you're gonna only take into consideration the ones who do not have any kind of controversy or dark past or, you know, unpleasant things hanging around them that people still like to gossip about, then you're really not gonna have that many to pick from in the first place.
True.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
So if, like, because you were sort of talking about this, how, like, I've put this question here saying, how much of this is damage control? And if it is just damage control, what do you think that could mean for people in this franchise who have other controversies around them? Like, obviously, J.K. Rowling and also Ezra Miller, who has had a bit of bad press lately, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can compare the three because there is a legal affair connected to Depp, and I don't think that's the case for Miller and Rowling, at least yet. So yeah, that's just my point of the point of comparison. I think the trial is a big, and the justice involved is a big difference, but not comparing the gravity of the three controversy, but yeah, just from a technical point of view.
I'm not fussed if it's creating any more problems for J.K. Rowling, to be honest. I don't want this to turn into a J.K.R. bashing episode. I don't want that. It's just that if she's having, you know, more than her fair share of issues to deal with right now, I think it's true to say that a lot of that is sort of her own doing. But at the same time, she's still associated with this project, so if this is having a bad impact on her, I suppose you could say it's having a bad impact on everyone else as well. So if we have to make things easier for her, then we have to make things easier for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems a little bit to me like maybe this film, I don't want to bash the film either, because I'm still excited that it's coming. And it seems like it's becoming more damage and less control. So maybe rather than moving actors around or moving writers around, what they need to do is move some of the powers that be around and put a captain in charge of the ship who actually knows how to steer.
And to me, it feels a little late to be doing damage control. Like you say, there's been other controversies, concerns, issues. That this is kind of one that should have been seen coming, and one that at the very, very beginning kind of separated the fan base as it was. So it's not really like it's out the blue. And I'm a bit like, well, why are you doing it now? Is it really going to have that much of an effect now? It's like the fire's burnt the house, but it's about to get to the shed, so you start worrying about it. That's a really weird analogy, and I don't know where that came from.
That was a good analogy. I liked it.
Yeah, I think that is a good point, because obviously the whole JKR thing has been around for a year now that we really know about it, and the Ezra Miller thing has happened earlier this year, so both of them have been around, and the whole Johnny Depp thing has been around since forever, it feels like. So yeah, I suppose you can't really say it's damage control. But I mean, they must have known that this would get a big press covering. Mm. And, you know, it's not, it's like, it's probably neither good nor really bad news, but it's sort of news.
It's, yeah.
In a way.
However you feel about it, we have to acknowledge it.
Yeah. But it's not like they're trying to be like, hey, this is actually going to put like a good news filter on this franchise that's already been struggling so much.
No, especially since underneath this whole Johnny Depp is getting into legal battles with newspapers, you have the fact that I think by this point it's been established that Johnny Depp and Amber Heard they both have their part to play in this probably ill-advised marriage that in which neither of them are probably completely innocent. But at the same time, Johnny Depp is not the only one who has done wrong here between these two people, but he's the one who's being punished.
Yeah,
I think that's probably why Johnny, I am completely speculating here, I think that's probably why Johnny thought that this court action was a good idea, mm-hmm. was so that he could show that actually there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that wasn't completely to light. But like Jeff says, if you got two people who are both playing their part in this and they're both doing things in a relationship that they shouldn't do to someone that they're meant to love, it does seem quite an overreaction, but it does seem quite a big step that he is losing Fantastic Beasts, whereas her career doesn't seem to so far have been as affected in the same way.
Yeah, we've got that point listed here in the doc. Should we just jump right down to it then?
Yeah. So the question is, do we think if Warner Brothers sever ties with Johnny Depp, should they also do it with Amber Heard, especially considering Aquaman, which is a Warner Brothers film/franchise? I mean, I suppose it's the DC franchise.
Yeah. And just before going back to Amber Heard, I just wanted to say that I saw some comments from Evio, I think, and maybe Shannon on the Common Room that were quite right to remind us that this affair with this problem with Amber Heard is not the only violent case that Johnny Depp is involved in. We had several reports of his problematic attitude on set, not for Crimes of Grindelwald, but now I don't want to speculate because we don't have any proof of that for what could happen on set for Fantastic Beasts. But we know that Depp already had some issue with other people involving violence. So I just wanted to say that some people want to remind us that, and I don't know what I feel about that, but I thought that it could be interesting to keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. So now going back to Amber Heard, keeping that sort of in the bag.
I don't have that many opinions about the Aquaman franchise as a whole. I think it was an okay film. I just want to make that clear. I don't have any strong opinions about the Aquaman films. Certainly not as many as I have about the Fantastic Beasts films. But at the same time, I wasn't there. I'm never going to know what happened. But what is evident to me is that Amber Heard is at the very least as much to blame as Johnny Depp. So if we're going to cut him out of Fantastic Beasts, if we're going to cut him out of the Pirates franchise, and we're going to say it's because of all this legal stuff that the both of them mm-hmm. are tangled up in, then it seems really unfair of me to not give her the same treatment. So if they're going to cut Johnny Depp from all of his major franchises, then they should do the same to her.
I agree, but I know Lizzie has a lot to say about this, so I'm just gonna...
I can't wait to hear what Lizzie has to say about this. It seems like it's going to be good.
I was on, I think it was the first episode I did with you, Oreo, about my concerns about Johnny Depp being cast in the films. And although I was very concerned of the allegations of his violence, for me, the bigger concern was that it was setting a kind of precedent that it was okay that you can treat people in a relationship like that, and that it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you can still do that behavior. And that, too, it kind of normalized it. It was adding everything to the news. It was kind of going, oh, well, this happens in some relationships. Some relationships are toxic. That doesn't make it okay. And I really want to stress that, you know, it doesn't matter what gender you are, what gender you identify as, what kind of relationship you're in, you shouldn't be being abused, whether that's emotional, physical, or financial. It's not okay. And this is where I get really concerned, that people in the limelight, you know, I don't think it's necessarily right that people lose their jobs because of what they do in a relationship, but when you have people who are in a position of trust or influence, or that they are in the kind of limelight that people look up to them as a role model, we kind of want to expect better from what we see. And that if we're seeing our kind of heroes on screen or heroines on screen who are in their private lives, which then spills out into public life, hurting someone, that's not the way it's meant to be. And it's a really difficult position, because we don't know all the information. So we don't know who instigated it. We don't know the context around it. We don't know who threw the first punch, who did what, who said something, who did something wrong. But we're seeing the end result, which is injuries to both people. And he does have injuries, but again, we don't know how he got those injuries or the details of why they happened or anything like that. But if he is being punished for the same situation that Amber Heard had injuries, again, we don't know the context, we don't know what happened before, anything like that, but he's being punished for it, then I don't see why she shouldn't be as well. It's not okay that any kind of things like that happen in a relationship, and you should really, really try and get some help if this situation is something close to home. Really do reach out to someone. There's some fantastic charities out there who can help you escape that. Doesn't matter if you're a male, female, or identify as something else, someone else, then it's just not okay to live like that. And I don't want this film and series to be tainted by that kind of brush, that one person, it's okay for them to lead the films and have that kind of behavior. And that goes to Aquaman as well.
Yeah.
Oh, and needed a tissue after that one.
sort of following up a question to Lizzie, but also to you, Marshall and Jeff. What What do you say to people who say this is their private life and it shouldn't impact their professional life? Well, because that's an argument I've been thrown around
quite a lot. Put it very, very well. She talked about people who step into the limelight having a different expectation, and I may not like it, but we've seen enough examples to know that that's going to be true no matter whether you like it or not. When you become, it's like with J.K. Rowling and being entitled to her personal views, but all the trouble that has come from just a few things that she has expressed on Twitter. Because to her and to a lot of other people, it may just seem like, yeah, she has the right to free speech. She has the right to her beliefs and her views and her opinions, and she can share them however she likes. But when you become not just famous, but when you become an icon, somebody people look up to, somebody that people look to as an example, whether you asked for that or not, you have to accept that by becoming that level of celebrity, you have an obligation to demonstrate how decent human beings ought to behave. And if you struggle with that, acknowledge your struggles so that people know that it's okay to not be okay and to have to want to work on yourself to improve, to be a better human. But I think that Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, J.K. Rowling, and so many other people who have connections to all these different fantasy universes, which is where a lot of us go to escape our problems, I think they've really lost sight of that. And that's why I really appreciate everything that Lizzie just said, because I think she phrased the whole thing very, very well. Nobody deserves to be caught up in a situation like that, but once you realize that that's where you are, before you do much more damage to other people, let alone yourself and one other person, just accept that you need to do something about it.
I mean, if you were a nurse and who takes care of patients, who looks after people at the most vulnerable, and strangers and everyone, you are sometimes in very, very high violent situations. I'm thinking of some of our staff who work in the ER or accident emergency, who are faced by real kind of toxic behavior and people who are under the influence. It's not okay if then you find out the nurse who's looking after you has just been prosecuted for domestic abuse. That nurse would lose their job, they'd lose their registration, because that's not what you don't hit people, you don't hurt other people. So it's not just looking at these icons, these stars, it's actually kind of looking at what those people, what positions they take in society. And I'm just thinking of a first job that comes to my head, that a builder, it might not be the same for a builder if they get a prosecution of domestic violence or battery and things like that. But it's still not what you do to a human. Well, it shouldn't be. the way that the world is right now, there's a lot of horrible things going on, but that isn't the way we should treat each other.
I agree.
Yeah, and I totally agree with all that you said. And I just want to add that I said earlier that I loved Johnny Depp's portrayal as Grindelwald, and that's not because I like his portrayal that I will allow that to blind me for everything else. And that's exactly the same for J.K. Rowling or anyone, and I think it's really, really important for everyone to make peace with the idea that you can the same people that you admire for one reason, you can also hate them for another reason, or you can also want to make them realize that you don't agree with everything they do. It's not because they are doing one thing really good for you that they need to stay to your eyes perfect. I don't know if I'm if I'm understandable.
I agree.
Somebody can be two things at the same time, and you don't have to feel bad for liking what they presented to you. in as an artist or as an artist, but it's not because they did something in their artistic life that you like that you can't still appreciate that, and at the same time say, okay, I understand why this kind of person need to step down and to quit the public life because it's not okay to endorse this type of private life. So
I think there's been something fantastic that has I always try not to use that word and I do every time that's happened in the fandom. I know it's caused all these issues have caused a huge amount of hurt within the fandom, but one of the things that has really, really risen up, and I think that everyone should be incredibly proud of who have been particularly involved in these kind of movements and ideas, is that if you don't want to support the author who created it, well, you can still enjoy the material, but maybe you can buy something from Etsy, you can buy something from another fan who has created something amazing from it, or you can buy things secondhand, or give a donation if you want to go and see a film. I remember some of our fan community have said, great, go see the film, why don't you do a donation to a trans charity or a domestic violence charity. That if you are really kind of battling with that inner side of you that you don't want to support too much something that you don't 100% agree with, but at the same time you still get a lot of enjoyment, that you want to try and do a little something that helps that community that have been hurt, then, you know, I think that's been a genuinely kind reaction and something that I think the fandom has done really well.
Yeah. And I think the thing that we need to remind us is that all this fantasy world, all these movies and books and so they belong to us. And that's us who decided what we do with that. So and for the actors, that's also the reason why we need actors that we are okay to support and to I don't know, it's different. I guess the author is a different question, because when you consume a movie, you consume this old person, I guess, because that's them who are, they are putting them on the front line, and so that's why they also belong to us in a certain point, because we let them be present in our life in through media, through advertisement and everything, merchandise. Mm-hmm. So that's why it matters what we think of them, kind of. So yeah.
Should we go to something a bit more lighthearted? Sorry, Oreo, if you
want to. Oh, I was just gonna say, I mean, once like the work is out there and there is a fandom like the Harry Potter or Fantastic Beasts fandom, which are quite big fandoms, it is sort of us, and we can decide what it stands for. And as Lizzie has said, we've seen it all this year, that the fandom is standing up for the right side. There's been so many good things happening this year, just to like, in spite of all the bad news almost, and we're like, okay, we're going to donate to trans charities, we're going to donate to Black charities, we're going to like do all of those things because we as the fandom can decide what we want this to stand for.
I wish I could remember where I heard this, because it was one of the smartest things I've ever heard. But to explain why we can still participate in this fandom in spite of everything that's happened, I heard somebody on one of my podcasts say, the author is the architect, but we are the builders. So they create, or they designed this universe, but it doesn't come to life. It doesn't really exist. It doesn't actually mean anything unless we engage in it, and we get to decide exactly how we do that.
Yeah. And I think just because I've sort of seen it float around the internet, and before we go into the lighthearted stuff, or more lighthearted stuff anyways. There's been petitions floating around, I think at least one big one, asking Warner Brothers to revisit the decision and to put Johnny Depp back on the casting. Which we all know that that's not going to do anything. No,
petitions, I don't want to diminish anybody's contribution to a petition if they really believe in it. But at the same time, most of the petitions that I see on things like change.org, I feel like a lot of times that's just sort of a group of people all agreeing that we don't like this and we wish it was otherwise. So we're circulating a petition. And when I saw this morning the petition for Johnny Depp, it had something like, I think, 25,000 signatures on it. It's admirable that 25,000 people all want to band together and try to save Johnny Depp's presence in the films, but 25,000 people's names on one petition is not going to convince Warner Brothers, I don't think.
And also, just think about it, 25,000 people, just all of them putting up $1 to charities that help victims of domestic violence instead, has much, much more of an impact than 25,000 people signing something.
Mm. I agree.
Definitely.
So just sort of floating this out there, I think if you want to like bring change, maybe this is the better way to do it. But live your life and do what you want. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, we don't want to tell anybody that your choices are invalid or that you shouldn't live how you choose. It's just that there are times where actions are much more helpful than words.
Yeah. So actually going into the more lighthearted piece here, knowing that the role is being replaced or maybe has potentially already been replaced, and I know you've been going into this quite a bit on the bonus episode that is out on YouTube, but who do we for? Who are our like dream replacements, just sort of? Who would we want to see?
Well, there was a poll in the Facebook group, and there were some suggestions on there that were very obviously just kind of put in there for fun. Like there was a lot of hype for Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, which they did in Doctor Strange. They did make the Ancient One Tilda Swinton, which I thought was fantastic. Some people apparently did not care for that. So I know they can turn certain characters into, you know, gender swapped versions, which I think is fine to do. I like to see it, but I don't see them doing it here. On the other hand, no. There are a lot of good points made in that discussion about, is this an opportunity to cast an actor who isn't just another American actor or British actor, somebody who's actually German or from that part of the world, an actor of color, you know, a lesser known actor who perhaps this might be like a really positive step in their career if they could do a great job with it. So I just picked out three and I tried to find some diversity among my decisions because I figure a lot of people are probably going to repeat certain names. But I think that it would be fun to either get Christoph Waltz, Idris Elba, or Andrew Scott. Those are the three. If I had to like do a short list based on who's in there now, after our discussion, I think those are the three that I would put up as I think either one of these would be great.
I think I know you brought this up, or Michael had brought this up in the YouTube one. As much as we would like to have people of color more represented in movies, I don't think this is probably the role for, for that. Because we don't want them to be associated with the most evil wizard, essentially. Yeah. But
And the most evil who is basically wizard Hitler. I don't see Idris Elba being wizard Hitler.
That's fair. And that was something I did bring up during the chat was Christoph Waltz. We keep calling Grindelwald wizard Hitler. Christoph Waltz has an Academy Award for playing a Nazi. So that would be a unique point of view that Austrian, as an actor, so he would bring to the role.
No, I mean, I've been saying this all along. I'd love to see a German speaking or Austrian, like someone from that sort of location. But I think my top pick, who is not internationally that known, but is a very big name in Germany, is Matthias Schweighöfer, just because he's sort of the good-looking blonde guy, and that's always like has been the description of Grindelwald.
And what a name,
so
too.
That's a
good name.
I didn't know this guy, but when you put the the picture, I was, okay, I see that.
Yeah.
I'm now desperately trying to look in the thing because I can't remember what he looks like.
Actually, there is quite a resemblance with, I never remember the name of young Grindelwald, Jamie.
Yeah, that is Campbell Bauer.
Yeah.
That's another one I was going to put up. It's like, why not use the actor we already have for Grindelwald and just age him up?
Yeah. But they.
And then they still... one other name.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was about the casting a younger actor, or at least an actor who looks young. I think we still need to remember that it will be a counterpart for Jude Law. So. At least we need some actor who has at least, yeah, who is not too far from Jude Law's age, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And I think one name, I mean, I've sort of out of fun kicked around Robert Downey Jr., but more because I just like the chemistry between Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr. I don't believe for a second that that is going to happen. But I've been listening to David Tennant's podcast over the summer, and he has actually said he'd love to be part of the Fantastic Beasts franchise.
Yes.
And I love David Tennant, so I'd be okay with that.
Yes, please, David Tennant. Oh my God.
You sound like you're just having a moment.
I think I might be having a moment, yeah. But I can't help, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. It's just... Even when he's talking about very serious topics with very established actors on his podcast, I mean, not even just the podcast, whenever I see or I hear David Tennant, no matter if it's a very serious thing that he's in, even when I watch him on Broadchurch, I cannot help but smile because he's just so fantastic.
Yeah,
he really is, yeah. So those are my name's
I'm just now on a David Tennant moment as well. Him in Hamlet as well, the Hamlet production he did was
so good.
Oh my goodness, he really would be great alongside Jude Law. He could bring a lot to the role, but I don't think I'm 100% sold on it. I don't know. I'm quite enjoying all the rumors and people coming up with these ideas. I don't feel particularly like, yes, 100%, I want that person.
So yeah. I will be happy with a lot of different names that was brought up. So I'm not hard to please, I must say. But yeah, I was famously on the Team Ewan squad. So I want Ewan McGregor, but the main reason is, of course, because it's a... awesome actor, but also because of the chemistry with Jude Law, because they were actually, they know each other since they were young, and they were roommates when they were young. So that makes me, happy to to think about Ewan McGregor and Jude Law getting together to play this Grindelwald and Dumbledore character. So
I could get behind Ewan McGregor.
Yeah,
but I don't see him going into this big franchise, since he will very soon be busy with Star Wars stuff, so we'll see. But the other choice that was mentioned during the Facebook live, the YouTube live, was Cillian Murphy, and that's one of my favorite actors of all time, so I'm all for it. And the argument that they made during the live are very good, so I'm all for Cillian Murphy too.
I'd love to see Cillian Murphy, and he'd be a great casting choice. The only thing I could think of that might hold him back from taking on that part, actually, first of all, I want to clarify something. I don't know if I'm making this up or not. Is Cillian Murphy one of those people who prefers the use of gender-neutral pronouns? Because I don't want to mislabel him.
Oh, I don't know. Should we have a quick Google?
Yeah, let's have a quick Google. Well, I'll just refer to them by their name while you're looking that up. So Cillian Murphy, the only thing I can think that would keep Cillian Murphy from really doing it is that I know that Cillian Murphy is still starring in the Netflix show Peaky Blinders, which I've become very fond of. So I don't know what kind of filming schedule they're working from with COVID and everything, because I do believe the show is still ongoing.
I thought that was finished.
Unless I'm wrong.
I thought they finished last...
No, that's not.
Okay. Oh, ignore me. I thought it had its final season earlier this year.
So I thought it did too.
No.
But Netflix is always green lighting and putting out... Netflix puts out so many new things I can't keep up, and I feel like the new seasons of things they've already got are kind of getting buried.
That's not a Netflix production, I think. It's from another network, I think. But yeah, it's on Netflix, but...
I knew it was a BBC show, but I thought that, like, the Great British Baking Show, it had moved from the BBC over to Netflix.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But... yeah.
I love that it's called the Great British Baking Show over there. I don't know why you couldn't have the
think
Great
that
British
someone...
Bake Off, but you know.
Yeah. I always do. Whenever someone says, I was like, isn't it called Bake Off? Am I just wrong? I don't know.
I've been known to call it that. My wife and I have been watching it from the beginning. I couldn't get her to watch Downton Abbey, but I could get her to watch the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, well. Lizzie, do you have a couple of names that you want to toss out?
Well, I feel like I will let down the poll if I don't bring this up. And I think Helena would be quite upset with me. So, what about... No, I'm going to have to say this right because I said it wrong the other day. Oh, my God. Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell, yeah.
It is Farrell.
Colin Farrell seems like a very popular choice, and it would be kind of like a cheeky sort of wink to, oh, well, he's not taking over the part. He's actually coming back to it, because if you think about it, he played this part the whole time. It just took a while for some people to catch up.
I can imagine it might cause, a little bit of confusion. And there is the whole group of people who really, really want to know the backstory to Graves. And, yeah, I can kind of respect that. But he was really good.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you had a very good discussion about that on YouTube. But yeah, I want him back as Graves, but not as Grindelwald, because that will be too confusing. But yeah, the argument, the practical argument, is that he actually is just next door from the Fantastic Beasts set because he is filming the Batman. So the good thing is if they want him back, like Zoe Kravitz, they just had to move them.
Knock on the door.
They already are in this bubble in Livesden, so that's also quite a good thing for COVID procedure. So.
I don't know why I always get Colin Farrell and Colin Firth mixed up. I mean, they're pretty different, but it's just the names. Just imagine if Colin Firth came and did it. Oh.
One of them has an Academy Award and the other one is Colin Farrell.
It would turn it into a proper rom-com.
That would, with Colin Firth, that would, see, now I love that idea.
I'm going to blame Baby Brain on that one.
I couldn't take Grindelwald seriously for a second if Colin Firth was Grindelwald. I'd just be like, no,
I don't know, we could turn Dumbledore into Rom Combledore. I don't know. It's not my best work.
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to have Rom Combledore stuck in my head at work all night tonight, and nobody is going to understand why I'm laughing at myself.
They don't need to know. I think before we close this main discussion, we need to mention that obviously alongside the big news of Johnny Depp, we also finally learned that the movie's going to be delayed to summer 2022, which I personally can't say I was too surprised, because I thought November 2021 was unrealistic for quite a while now. So
ever since COVID, big budget movies don't get release dates anymore because none of them are coming out. The only big hyped movie of this year that actually came out in theaters, I feel like, is Christopher Nolan's Tenet, everything else either got released on Disney Plus or it has been pushed back until at least the beginning of next year, because we haven't gotten Wonder Woman 1984, Black Widow, Fantastic Beasts 3, the next Fast and the Furious movie. I mean, it's delayed is becoming synonymous with big budget movies in the present climate. They're not coming out.
Yeah. And it reminds me that with the original schedule, we should have the movie free this month, actually.
Yeah, oh, I should goodness. Be going yeah, yeah. to see this movie right now for the fifth time.
Yeah. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I think summer 22 seems quite reasonable. So I was not surprised. I was just waiting that to be official, so
yeah.
Cool. Are we ready to open the nude case? I'm slightly scared because I know Marjolaine said it's gonna be scary.
Yeah.
No, I have been so excited for this nude case ever since Marjolaine threw out what she was gonna talk about. I gotta hear this.
I mean, I purposely not looked at the kind of story, because I want to hear this. I want to experience it with you guys.
Yeah, and I write it all down, so I will just have to read. So yeah, the nude case. So that's a spooky nude case. I know Halloween is already a few weeks away, but it's always time for a spooky nude case. And before we start, I want to know if any of you know this. So I will talk about The Beast of Gévaudan, La Bête du Gévaudan in French. So do you know this beast?
I have never heard of it.
No.
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 Okay, so because I realized that we never talked about it, and it's actually one of the most famous beasts in French history. We have a lot of movies, books, historical studies about it, so I tried to gather some facts so it will be not too long. But yeah, it's one of the most famous beasts from French history. And everything that I will say is true. When I will talk about fury, I will say that it's a fury. But if I don't say it's a fury, that's all true historical facts. So be prepared. So we are south of France, not too far from where I live, actually. But yeah, a bit north from Marseille. It's on the border of the Auvergne region, in what we call today the Lozère, which was then called Gévaudan. So that's the beast from Gévaudan. So it's a region of deep forest, very isolated, lot of shepherds. And we are in 1764. So at this time, people are quite used to wolf attacks, but usually wolves only attack the herd, not the humans. But during this 1764 year, several young women and men start to be deadly attacked. And the survivors describe a huge beast, maybe a very big wolf, brown with a darker line on the back and a huge head. So people start to be scared because this beast killed a lot of people, and the villagers soon received the assistance of a troop of soldiers to hunt down this beast. But the attacks continued and the soldiers failed to find the beast. So winter has come and the hunt is more and more difficult. People got angry at the soldiers because they were quite useless and they were not paying for their food and shelter. And we have a lot of people getting angry in the press about that. So the villagers now send groups of young people to guard the herd so they are not alone if the beast attacks. And thanks to that, we have a report that 7 children got attacked in January and fought violently to save one of them who was dragged by the beast into the woods. And all of them survived. So good job, children. And actually, we have a lot of heroic reports, and that's I just note some of them. And I love the story of Jeanne Jouve, who saved her 3 children Because, yeah, she was just in front of her house, and her 9-year-old daughter and her 1-year-old son was attacked by the beast. Who was coming to the village, and she just ran into the beast, and she saved her 3 children with bare hands. Oh. So,
wow. Yeah.
Good job, Jen. And we also have the story of a young girl who saved her friends and who injured the beast with a spear, and the beast ran away. So we have this young lady statue in one of the villages in this area. So that's quite epic. But yeah, nobody seems to be able to stop the beast, and it became a national problem. The local bishop called the beast a divine punishment, actually. And so the king's advisors sent the most famous wolf hunters of the realm to hunt the beast, and they failed again. So it was also the time that the press became quite important. And so the news came everywhere about this problem, and everyone sent more or less extravagant solution to kill the beast. So I didn't put them on the dock, but yeah, they were quite funny solution that were proposed, but nothing worked. So during 3 years, the attacks continue, and the beast is sometimes wounded, but always managed to disappear. So statistics are quite variable and hard to check, but the official reports count at least 250 victims, wow, including 90 dead men and women, all ages. So,
oh my goodness,
in 3 years. So finally, in 1767, a beast was killed by Jean Chastel, a local hunter. And so the dead animal is inspected, and it is described as an exceptionally large wolf with unusual features. And the attack seems to stop after that, so most people consider this beast to be the beast of Gévaudan. So, so the remains of the creature are lost. They didn't conserve them. And there are still lots of questions about it. So definitely it was not a common wolf by his size, and also how resistant it was against weapons and how aggressive and violent it was. It definitely didn't kill just for food. It was especially targeting humans. And some historians suggested that it was not one, but several wolves who became man-eating, because we know that it happened during this time. There was a lot of wolves and also a lot of human at the same time, so it happened during this time. And others believe that it's a dog-wolf hybrid, which fits the physical description of the beast. And it is known also that during this time, dog-wolf mixed creature were more violent against humans than regular wolves. And some think that it was actually humanly trained to attack people. So we still don't know. And another theory was it might be an exotic beast that may have escaped from a menagerie or a fair. And many suggested a hyena. It will fit the description of the black line on the back and the weird weird head. And other even say that it could be a surviving prehistoric cave wolf of some sort. So yeah, a lot of speculation about that. And also there is a theory that it could be a serial killer dressed as a beast who took advantage of some wolf attacks to cover his murders. And it could be a man alone or with his own beast that he trained. And this is actually the theory that inspired a lot of fiction that still keep the Beast of Gévaudan part of the French pop culture. We have a lot of novels and movies about this serial killer who dressed as a beast to attack people. And in several adaptation, we also have that mixed with some werewolves stories, because of course, man, beast, wolf, werewolves. And yeah, so that's it for the story. And I don't know for you, but for me, I think that's the kind of story that can typically be included into the wizarding world to find a magical explanation that got covered by wizards. And yeah, so I hope Newt has investigated on this old case and that we will have some of his explanation later.
I would really love that.
He'd just probably be like, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a fluffy little friend.
Yeah, a lot of dead, so.
It's like he's gonna trap the beast, and then he's gonna be feeding him treats and scratching him behind his ears. He's gonna name him Baskerville, after the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Lying in front of the fire, stretched out.
When he's a good boy, he can call him Bassy. Don't worry, Bassy, Mummy's here.
Oh god.
So yeah,
that's a fantastic story.
Yeah, and that's really a very well-known story, and it got mentioned in some movie. I think, I don't know if you saw Wolfman. It was a movie,
yeah,
a few years ago. And in this movie, so it takes place in England, but one of the characters has a cane with a wolf head, and it is said that this cane came from Gévaudan, which is a reference to this beast.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Outrageous solutions that were proposed to deal with the beast that you said you didn't put in the doc because there were a lot of them. Do you happen to remember some of the more creative solutions?
I remember at least one. They created fake beast in paper and cardboard, I guess, and to train the dogs and the people, the villagers, to not be afraid of this beast and to be more able to fight it. Yeah. So yeah, they tried fake beast to train the people to fight against it and to recognize it, even if no one really knew what it looks like. But yeah.
So you open your front door and you're like, is this the paper mache one or is this the real one?
And of course they did a lot of prayers. We had a lot of pilgrim who did specific prayers against this beast because it was also tainted with this kind of devil punishing the people. So, yeah.
I mean, now that you've talked about your local myth, I should probably at some point cover the one that is from my hometown, which includes a dragon. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Why did you never talk about it? There is a dragon in this story.
You shouldn't get over here to do this story.
That would be great. I would love to hear that story as well.
Okay. Someone remind me to do that for some...
Will do.
Some nude case in the future.
I like Marjolin's point about how this would be easy to incorporate into the Fantastic Beasts universe, because as we know, there's a giant kelpie living in Lake Loch Ness who was later renamed as the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
It was a kelpie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I would have felt foolish if I'd got that wrong.
Did you know that there's a job at Lake Loch Ness, also Lake Loch Ness, that's a bit double, at Loch Ness, that is specifically just, it's a paid position, I think it's mostly paid within Lodge, that someone is just there 24/7 to look out to see if they can find a monster.
Yeah,
wow.
I saw a documentary about this guy who has this position, and it's so... It's so cool.
Well, there's more than one television show in America about people going out into the woods to hunt for the Sasquatch, so why not?
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
They are online, I mean, so are you have fun with that and let me know if you find any ones that you like.
Well, thank you so much, Marjolaine, for that nude case. It was really interesting.
You're welcome.
And not as spooky as I thought it was going to be, although it was still very spooky.
Yeah, no, I tried to make it not too... Yeah, because there is a lot of details that are quite disgusting, but yeah.
So this was the children-friendly version.
Yeah, that was, yeah, because just speaking of children, just the seven children story is quite a little bit bloodier than I retold it, so.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. I think I'm happy with this version.
Yeah, that's good for me. It's dark outside, so.
Exactly.
So our podcast question of the week comes from our main discussion, specifically where we were talking about who would take over the role of Gellert Grindelwald now that Johnny Depp has left. So, with the departure of Johnny Depp from the Fantastic Beasts series, who would you like to see take over the role of Gellert Grindelwald? We'd love to hear from you, so drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. That does give us a lot of help.
If you do want to contact us in any of our other routes, then find us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie. Tumblr, speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie, and you get some really cool stickers as well, which always sends everyone into a bit of a spin every month.
Yeah.
I always love to get my stickers. I just have to remember not to post pictures in the Facebook groups because not everybody gets them the same day I do.
Yeah. But it's always, every month it's like, guys, the sticker this month. And it's like, yeah. I haven't got mine yet. The other one's like, yeah, I've seen it today. I was like, okay.
I keep all my podcast stickers inside my book about the making of the first Fantastic Beasts movie. It's getting to be quite a collection.
Yeah.
I want a picture of that.
Okay, great. I'll get it sent to you as soon as we're done.
Cool. Okay. I'm Oreo.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Marjolaine.
Case closed.